Man, I don't know about you, but I feel like putting on a black leather jacket and going out and boosting some cars. There goes more with Lowrider. Right. Dog and Joe show on a Thursday. Another adorable adoptable up for grabs today at 8 o'clock. You'll get to meet her. We were talking about wives' tales, myths, urban legend, folklore, all that stuff. Here's what we have now. Some more health folklore or wives' tales. 48 facts about health we've often believed that are misleading or dead inaccurate. Okay?
Okay.
We're not going to do all 48, but here's some pretty good ones on here. Humans got HIV because someone had sex with a monkey. Ever heard that one? That's how
I thought that exactly was how that happened.
What they're saying is HIV probably did not jump to humans through human-monkey sex. It probably jumped to humans through hunting of monkeys for bushmeat as food, which led to blood-to-blood contact.
Oh.
So, because they were hungry and they were out looking for their bushmeat, that's how they think it's more likely, or was more likely, transmitted. So,
which,
yeah.
I think to be so odd because they've been eating monkey forever and ever and ever. And back in the day, they didn't even have guns. They were hacking them up with machetes and bows and arrows.
That
and
is
whatnot.
True. They,
you know
they,
what,
yeah,
I mean?
What happened?
You know,
what, yeah, what changed back in the late 70s or early 80s?
That's why I think some whacked-out pervert had sex with a monkey, and now we've got AIDS. I mean, back in the day, they weren't thinking like that. They were eating them, actually eating
okay,
them.
Okay, but here's the thing, though, too, Joe. Let's go back. If you support the theory that they've disproven that someone did have sex with a monkey, if they were eating monkeys all those years ago and nothing ever happened, don't you think they were also having sex with monkeys?
No, because pervertism didn't work like that back in those days. There was too much stuff to do. They actually had to survive. When you have to survive, you can't be a pervert.
You know, I always think this is such a fantastic, and I don't want to get too sideways. We'll get back to this. I've always thought that this is so amazing because you watch old TV shows and you look at old politicians and you look at the old time stuff. I was born in 72. Joe, you're born in what, 75,
yes.
6?
Yes, mm-hmm. 75.
So you see all this black and white stuff, and we grew up watching this Leave It to Beaver, and we have this false sense of dignity. And we always thought, oh, man, they look so dignified and so sophisticated and aristocratical, and they looked so proper.
I've got a story to back it up.
And then you go back, okay, what's
I
that?
Got my, no, you're making
what's
a good
king,
point
that Caligula?
Caligula. Now you're talking about the meanest, most scariest
okay.
man in history.
Let's go back in time. We've always, or we're always led to believe that stuff was so much better and the people were so much more dignified. It's horse crap. People have been people and they've been into the same kink and the same fetishes and the same diabolical behavior and drinking and drug use that we have. They just hid it from us back then because they didn't want anyone else to know that they were bad people.
I would
people.
Believe that in certain sects of the community, I would think. Caligula type things, yes, because that guy had nothing more to do than sit around and eat grapes and be rich. Plus, Caligula was the most psychotic psychopath of any human born. But what I say about these tribesmen and the folks, think about it from this angle. Cavemen.
Uh-huh.
Cavemen were going to be going out and having sex with saber-toothed tigers and whatnot and stuff like that. They didn't have time for it. But you come across a saber-toothed tiger, an animal, back when you're a caveman, you kill it and eat it. Same with a tribesman. You don't have time to have sex with a monkey. You got to chop a tree down and build a hut, and then you got to walk 10 miles.
Yeah, but if you're the village leader and you've had sex with all the village wives because you're the alpha leader of that village, don't you just after time kind of turn into like a David Bowie or Mick Jagger, as the rumor always was, as they got tired of women, so they started having sex with, instead of guys, monkeys?
You're king of the jungle. You've had all the jungle women.
Yeah, you've had all the jungle women. I want to go into the forest now and see if I can conquer a monkey or a baboon or whatever it is.
I just don't see those folks back in those days doing that. Maybe they did, but I don't. I just think it's weird that now we have it, if that's the case, and why eating monkeys did that to us.
Being stressed will give you high blood pressure.
Truth.
Not true.
Make your belly fat.
It will give you high blood pressure for a short amount of time, but it's a temporary increase and not the main cause for hypertension.
Systemal or systematic or situational. Yeah, I got it there on the third one, didn't I?
There you are, yes.
Situational is what I was looking for.
And I know there's probably a bunch of doctors and a bunch of other people that would say, no, that's horse crap, don't buy that. But they say diet. Bad diet, that is, smoking, things like genetic, far bigger factors when it comes to high blood pressure. Meaning, if you're all stressed out, if you're stressed out for a week, okay, you'll have high blood pressure for a week or an hour, but then it should go back down.
Goes
but if
away.
It's not, yeah. And because they've always said stress, the silent killer.
What about stress giving you belly fat?
Well, I mean, I guess
it increases your, I think, cortisone.
God, stop talking. It increases your cortisone.
Something like that, your cortisol or something in your belly area, and increases that when you have stress, and it leads to giving your stomach fat.
Is this an infomercial on Ice Road Truckers?
That's what my doctor told me when I got fat. He said the stress from working over at the meth lab was making my belly fat.
Well, no, people get stressed out and they eat. Here's how I think that science works. People get stressed out, they feel bad, so what they want to do is eat more fatty foods because those fatty foods stimulate their brain and make them happier. They're getting more salt, they're getting more sugar, they're getting more carbs.
Well, there's probably truth to what you're saying right there, I would imagine.
So they eat to stimulate to feel better, and then the result is all the extra calories and fat that they've consumed start sticking to you. It's not because, oh, I'm sad.
Well, he straight told me, and he said that if you are stressed, if you're living in a high stress environment for a certain amount of time, it can increase your stomach mass, stomach fat.
If you're laying on the couch and you're sad, you don't want to go outside, you don't want to move. Okay, so now you're being less active.
I guess everything. Yeah,
I don't think that it's because you're stressed out. Because stress, for a lot of people, what they'll do, it's the exact opposite. They won't eat. They have no hunger and they'll lose weight
and they get skinnier.
Yeah, so I don't think stress is the cause of the weight or the weight loss. It's because you get nervous and you worry and you either eat or you don't. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm not stressed and I'm skinny now. So maybe there's something to it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't work out.
Dana, do you ever want to meet Joe's doctor? Dana and I, we haven't shared half the stuff that Joe's doctor shares.
Oh, my doctor's a genius.
Yeah, I would love to meet Joe's doctor, because Dana and I sit in a room with Joe because Joe's a hypochondriac, and every day we hear all of this crackpot online doctorate. I don't know anything about this doctor. I've never met him. But Dana and I, we look at each other, and sometimes we don't even look at each other. Dana's back is to mine and my back to hers. And I could just see Dana in the back of her head, eyes rolling. And I know Dana can see my eyes going, oh, God. Really? Your doctor told you this?
That's what he does. Yeah, he tells me all this good stuff, and it saves my life.
Yeah. I can't even remember some of the horse crappy stuff you said that he told you a while back, but it was just goulash.
No.
No, goulash is good.
Yeah.
It's word goulash, and it's turned to crap.
Dana, being cold can give you a cold.
I think that's baloney, and that it's the same thing with go out in the cold with your hair wet and you'll get a cold.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Joe, come on, you fought that for years. Joe and I have argued about this one for years, saying if you go outside when it's cold, you'll absolutely get a cold.
You don't think that's true?
I know it's not true.
It's not.
It's not.
There's science that proves it.
Well, okay, I don't know from what decade or...
It's from his doctor.
Yeah, it's science from your doctor that he got out of some medical journal from
the
20s.
You catch a cold from going outside wet?
No. There's no evidence that going outside with wet hair when it's freezing will make you sick, provided you avoid hypothermia, okay? But there is a scientifically sound explanation for why people catch more colds in the winter.
I'd like to hear this.
We spend more time in closed quarters and indoors, more likely crossing paths with more people, causing us to come into contact with more viruses. We're outside in the summertime more often. We have less close contact.
Although, true or false, you do go outside more when your hair's wet in the cold in the wintertime. It's an easier chance. There's nothing you could say while you're in a room with closed up people, but you're 50-50 going outside with wet hair and cold.
You either go outside with wet hair all year long or you don't.
Do you go outside in the wintertime more often with wet hair?
But it's not cold in the summertime. It's only cold in the winter.
You go outside a lot. Let's just go back to non-seasonal. You go outside a lot with wet hair?
Well, me personally, I don't have hair. But if I had hair, sure, I would. Yeah, I'd go outside with wet hair.
Your hair would be dry before you got outside. I'm the only person on this show that goes outside with wet hair.
You're the only person on the show that has hair.
Yes.
Joe Shave says, I don't have any. You've got long hair.
If I had the amount of hair that Dana has,
I
would be going outside in the winter with wet hair.
But you don't.
Why? Why would you go? What would the need be? Why wouldn't you just dry your hair off and then go outside?
Well, what if you have to take a quick trip after showering, is what I'm saying. A lot of people take showers and make quick trips in the winter.
I hate you so much. You're so...
I mean, that's a reasonable belief.
It's not weird to go outside with wet hair in the winter. Like, my hair has to air dry. I don't blow dry it. So yeah. I just go outside and wait for it to dry.
I wish Joe's doctor.
Go outside every day in the wintertime with wet hair. Let's see if we could disprove the cold fact.
Oh, I will.
I wish we could get Joe's doctor to agree to come on the show.
Oh, he will. Anytime you want
him. I wish that he was ready to forego his medical practice and license. And I can share all the stuff that Joe has told us he shared with him.
What's going to happen is he's going to get on the show and then make me look like a liar.
Yeah. That's kind of the point of having him on the show. Let's go through and find a couple more of the other good ones here. There's a whole bunch. Let's see here. Oh, this is a pretty good one. I think people kind of know this now. Cracking your knuckles will give you arthritis.
Oh, I've heard that. And like just in general that cracking any bone is supposed to be bad for you.
And I've heard also that it'll make them grow.
Oh, I probably
make your knuckles
thank you
bigger.
For sharing that with us.
Yeah, I crack mine all the time. Cracking your knuckles may annoy the people around you, but even people who have done it frequently or for many years are not more likely to develop arthritis than those who don't. See,
I firmly believe that one.
This is going back to the conversation that started this whole topic, back with, you know, if you run your fuel tank low, you're going to burn up your fuel pump.
Yeah.
Again, this is a wives' tale or urban legend that a mom started. Her pesky teenage kids were sitting there and they're bored. We didn't have fidget spinners. They're playing with their fingers and one of their fingers popped. And the kid was like, ooh, that sounded like kind of like a bubble wrap. I'm going to do it again. And they started cracking their fingers, as a lot of teens do. You know, the teen boys crack their knuckles. The teen chicks walk around popping their bubble gum.
Yep.
Yeah, popping all the air. So the mom said, you know what'll happen, Timmy? If you keep cracking your knuckles, you're going to get arthritis. When you're my age, you won't even be able to walk.
I think there is some kind of truth to that, though. The constant popping and the releasing of, what did we learn that one time?
It's
like a gas in
that. I think there's something to that. I think people that are serial knuckle crackers have a better chance at having arthritis in their hands.
I got to tell you, my hands, they feel fantastic. And this is why I would say for anyone out there that cracks their knuckles all the time, don't start doing it because it's addictive. And I, oh my God, my finger, oh, I crack them and it just feels good. My ankles, my toes, I love when my bones pop. That's why I would say don't do it is because you're going to always do it because it feels so great.
That's what scares me about it, because anything you do in life that feels good or is good causes extreme amounts of hell
on
you.
Well, and you want that relief. You really, really want that relief. Like going to the chiropractor, you know how they crack your neck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
When you want, you can tell there's that gas trapped in there. You're like, oh, I want it out so bad.
You get that moment of clarity. It's euphoric.
Don't you find it weird that gas gets trapped in our bones? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's weird, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. But here's the other thing, too, Joe.
It also gets trapped in our rear end.
Well, not dogs.
Yeah, no. No. Why would anyone trap that beloved gas? Don't do that to the gas.
Who wants to keep that closed in
there? Yeah, treating that gas like children trying to cross the border. How dare you?
How does it travel from our bones to our backside?
Huh?
How does it travel from our bones to our backside?
Well, again, more doctor logic from Joe's doctor. Well, the gas in our bones now travels to our...
That's got
to
be methane in our bones, too, isn't it?
Okay. Let's see here. One more.
Oh, my God.
There's so many of them on here. We'll have to come back.
You guys just aren't even going to answer it, then.
No, we're just going to keep going.
This one, and I'm not even going to get into this one because other people... I was going to talk about vaccines cause autism, but there's...
Oh, we'd go for days on that.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into that one.
Or deodorant that has antiperspirant in it causing Alzheimer's because the aluminum's zirconium. I mean, you can go forever for those things.
I do subscribe to that.
I do, too, but there's no way to disprove it.
Wow, we're all hippies.
Well, none of us uses antiperspirant deodorant, do you? I haven't used it ever in my life, ever since I've heard about that.
And Dana, don't you ever again on this show call me what you called Joe just then. Yeah, don't ever do that. I use a coconut baking powder based.
Yeah, you have the most hippie deodorant of the three of us.
Yes, but he doesn't technically subscribe to it because of the aluminum zirconium, although that is one of the issues. He subscribes to it because of a little thing he calls underarm rash.
I get an underarm rash.
No, it's a real thing, Joe. Unlike wedding ring rashes.
You saw my armpits.
Hold on. What do you mean, unlike wedding ring rashes? That was a real thing. That happened to me, didn't it?
Yes.
Damn near caused me to miss a day at work.
Oh, yeah, they almost had to amputate his ring finger.
I couldn't drive properly that day.
Because Joe's ring was made of tungsten.
You can't use the other hand?
No, I couldn't.
He came in and he said, look at this beautiful ring. He goes, oh, my God, I've got a wedding ring rash. How docile is your skin to get a tungsten wedding ring rash?
Really docile.
It was legitimate, though. When I was wearing that deodorant, my armpits, they were red, and they were blotchy, and they itched, and they were like fire.
It was like he had that that skin thing where your skin gets dry underneath there. It was really weird.
That actually happened to me, too. I called it baboon armpits, because they were just beet red.
And you can't touch them down, and when you sweat, they burn, and they itch.
It hurt. And as soon as I shave, I mean, I know you guys don't shave, but
was yours antiperspirant deodorant?
It was related to it. It's actually the baking soda in some of the deodorants that caused it for me.
Yeah, I got rid of it, and I haven't had an armpit rash since.
Yeah,
it's not. There's no need for it. The whole reason behind your sweating is to release heat from your body. So to not sweat, I don't think is a good thing.
You've seen those people too. Have you seen the guy? He did that study. He did not. He didn't shower. And when he did shower, he'd rinse off. He never used soap. He didn't use any chemicals.
Oh, I remember this
guy. He quit wearing deodorant.
Yeah.
And he stopped wearing deodorant for, like, I don't know, 5 years. And he quit bathing. And
shampoo, all of it.
Everything. And his body naturally started acclimating and producing natural oils like our body's supposed to do. And he didn't smell. He would wipe down with water and cloths and all that. But he didn't. He said he started sweating less. He noticed that he didn't smell, he wouldn't get body odor, and he ultimately became less greasy once he went through that long period, and he said he's done with it. And what he was saying is all these damn L'Oreal's and all these Old Spice, all they're doing is peddling products to make you smell better and think you feel better and look better in your conditioner. He said it's all crap. If you let your body do what it's supposed to do, and you do clean yourself with water.
Yeah, you're just like a filthy hobo or whatever.
Yeah,
I definitely subscribe to that, especially with the shampoo thing. I don't use shampoo at all in my hair, and my hair is not oily. It went through a period where it was really oily because it was adjusting.
Yeah,
but after that, you don't have any hair oil. It's actually good for your hair to have oil.
Does your hair smell?
No.
Huh.
I use conditioner still, but I don't wash my hair every day. Like a lot of people wash their hair every day, and that's really bad for your hair.
I've heard like it. Yeah, you're not supposed to wash it every day as well. So what? So you put no shampoo in, but you'll just get it wet and then put conditioner in it.
Yeah, I get it wet most days, and I'll like scrunch through it with my hands and stuff and rinse it out with water, but I don't wash it every day.
Huh. Yeah, what about this one? Brown sugar is healthier than white sugar.
I mean, sugar's sugar, right?
I never even heard of that before. Is brown sugar sugar cane?
Oh, no. Brown sugar, they pour molasses into it and a sticky syrup to actually color it. Oh. And that's what gives it the different flavor. But Dana's absolutely right on that one. Sugar is sugar, and your body does not know the difference, because a lot of people always thought, I'll eat brown sugar. It's more natural. It's got this in it.
Because it's not refined or bleached or something in their mind, right?
It's sugar. Your body doesn't know. Whether it's high fructose corn syrup or it's sugar, your body has a hard time telling sugar from sugar. So there is a lot of people out there now saying high fructose corn syrup, not as bad as what other people had said, because your body doesn't really recognize it any differently.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
Remember when they were pulling it out of everything and putting all natural sugar in it?
Yeah.
So it was made, there was no difference in anything, really, I think. Remember? People were like, I don't know if it's really going to be that big of a deal to take it out or not.
I always liked the high fructose better, because I grew up drinking sugar drinks, and then we stopped and everyone started making a big deal about get rid of the high fructose.
Yeah.
And then I drank the real sugar drinks. The high fructose,
dog didn't like them.
I don't know why. The high fructose covered more of your mouth with sweetness, like all around your tongue, than the natural sugar drinks. The natural sugar drink to me wasn't as sweet or enveloping.
Yeah.
To me.
Remember, there was a kick on them for a while, and I was drinking the crap out of the Mountain Dews, the real sugar Mountain Dews. They had a different label on it and everything else, and you did not like it. I mean, you weren't drinking a lot of soda then, but you didn't like the taste of it.
No, I didn't like the real sugar stuff. So we'll come back. We'll do some more of these. It is a Thursday. Hang tight.
Dog and Joe.